The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studio. Welcome. Welcome to The Big Show. Yeah, it might be a cloudy day, but it's all sunshiny in my heart today. Okay, I got to comment on a couple things in the news. CBS News, they mentioned that the feds are now going to send agents to the cities that are experiencing some of the worst crime in the nation. Good. It's about time. We have a bunch of mayors and governors who have decided to turn the streets over to domestic terrorists. And I mean that in a literal sense. We'll get to what they have found in the IEDs that were thrown at Seattle police last weekend. The president is going to speak sometime soon on this effort to send agents, federal agents, to cities like Seattle. So we will drop in and bring you some of that live as we progress through the afternoon today. And then the local story that was in our news about the guy who drove onto I-5, killed one woman, and badly injured another. I have to admit, I'm very, very confused. The woman who was injured, and the guy, of course, should be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. A young black man who was driving into what was being called a black woman's march that night on I-5. But they're blaming the Seattle police because they allowed that car to get on I-5. The car drove on an off-ramp to get onto I-5. And these are the same people who have been in the streets screaming for the last 6 weeks about how we have to defund the police. Do you know how many more cops it would have taken to protect a march on I-5, which had happened for weeks on end, never should have been allowed in the first place? Do you know how many cops it would take? Because they'd already blocked all the on-ramps. But if you want enough police to block all of the off-ramps as well, then we have to hire more cops, not defund the police. Everything that I'm hearing from the anarchists, from the domestic terrorists, and from the protesters is contradictory. As a friend of mine said, the snake is eating its tail. But don't tell me in one breath you want to defund the police, and then in the next say you blame the Seattle police for not blocking off-ramps to prevent people from on-ramping onto the freeway. It makes zero sense. And with that as mere prelude, let's get right to The Big Lead.
The Big Lead. Top story.
It's just crazy. And I know if you listen to this show, you know what's going on. I wonder if many others do recognize what's going on around here, because it's starting to get really disturbing. Yesterday, Dow Constantine, after a memo had been leaked, he didn't want it to come out yesterday, but Dow Constantine is planning on closing down the Seattle, downtown Seattle, King County Jail, which houses about 1,800 inmates. And these are some really, really bad people. Rapists and murderers are in that jail as they await trial. Now, if you get convicted of a felony, you go to prison. If you're convicted of crimes less than a felony that have a sentence of up to 1 year, you can be held in the King County Jail. So violent assault, although we tend to just release violent assaulters back on the streets, they can assault again, you know, 20, 40, 60 times, because we believe in a progressive region in just letting criminals walk free. And that's what we do on a regular basis. We have people with 50 felonies walking the streets of downtown Seattle. So what's going to happen to those rapists and murders. Well, they'll go down to Kent. But even for rape, I mean, there is a big no bail push from the radicals right now, which means that even if you commit very serious crimes, you won't have any bail, you'll go to jail, and then you'll be released. And so all of these criminals who bail out or get no bail, they are just going to be walking the streets of Kent now, where the other King County jail is. Oh, that's really fair. But Dow Constein, he doesn't care about Kent. He cares about appeasing the radicals who have taken over in Seattle. He also says no youth jail by 2025 around here, which means a 14, 15, 17 and a half year old who commits a violent rape or a murder, if they're not charged as adults, and a lot of them are charged as juveniles, then, I mean, think about the marauding band that beat Tuba Man to death. And for people who are new to this region, there's this beloved character guy that everybody called Tuba Man. And he would sit outside of Seahawks and Mariners and Sonics games, and he would play his tuba. And not real well, but he was just a great, long-time Seattle, you know, beloved character. And I got to know him a little bit. I would often talk to him after sporting events, and he was just a sweet guy. And one night, a group of children beat him and kicked him to death so they could steal the tips he had gotten after a sporting event. They beat him to death. Those kids were all tried as juveniles. Now, in Dow Constantine's vision of King County, all of those murderers would just be walking free because we will have no youth jail in King County. And in fact, there's been a long time movement. There was an activist who was on, this is a while back, on Seattle's Morning News, Jed Walsh. And Dave tried to ask him about, what about these children who murder and rape?
Most of the kids in the youth jail have not been in there for violent offenses, so this question about guns and about violent children is often a red herring, and it's not one that I'm willing to go into when we're here for an action to stop the new youth jail. I think that those responses need to be figured out individually.
But the fact of the matter is that at any given time, there are one to two dozen rapist, murderer children in youth jail. And so, seriously, the vision is, according to activists like that person who just says it's a red herring. And no, if we're talking about one to two dozen kids who have raped somebody's mother, sister, wife, daughter, that's not a red herring. That's real life. And I know they don't want to answer it because they know that we won't like the answer. Because their answer is they want rapists and murderers to go free if they're children. That truly is the answer. I mean, that is what they desire. And then I say, does anybody recognize really what's happening around here? Because we've got a small group on the Seattle side. So we have Dow Constein, who is going to just let children who commit the most violent crimes walk free. He's going to offload all the criminal problems to Kent because they're not as politically important to him in Kent as the downtown activists are. And so that's what this is about. Oh, I wanted to play for you before I move on. Q13 talked to a bail bond specialist in downtown Seattle, who said, man, this is really surprising to just eliminate the
shocked
jail.
I can't understand what the plan would be for this. I sit in the courtroom almost every day listening to cases. We do bail bonds. We don't bond out everyone. There are some seriously dangerous people in custody.
And those seriously dangerous people should not be on the streets.
We've got lists of people we see over and over in court all the time.
And then what about the murders?
There were three people booked in last Friday on homicide charges. Are we going to let those people out? I have no idea what the county's planning to do for those people. And justice needs to be held for people who have done wrong.
Again, send them to Kent is going to be the plan. And that's where Dow Constein, someday he wants to be governor. And he believes that to be governor, he has to move to the radical left. He has to get the support of this unbelievable movement that is taking over our city. You have a small group of Seattle City Council members who have unilaterally decided, even though the public doesn't want defunding the police, they have unilaterally decided that they want to strip 50% of Seattle police funding. Sawant wants to remove about 80% of patrol officers from the street. 80%. And this is in a city that in the last 36 hours has had two murders, two other shootings. Night before last, murder in the Central District. Yesterday morning, a murder at a motel on Aurora Avenue. Last night, you had two more people shot at the same location in the Central District, where an all-out street gang war is underway. And, you know, nationally, everyone's talking about Chicago, where there was a funeral yesterday afternoon. And gunfire opened up. It was a gang member who had been killed. It was his funeral. And the opposing gang did a drive-by shooting. The audio of the drive-by is pretty horrific. Then people at the funeral who were armed, gang members, they fired back at the vehicle that was shooting at them. You still hear the gunfire as the car was speeding away there. 14 people were shot at that funeral in Chicago last night. Well, it's not as bad as Chicago here in Seattle. But we've had five people shot, because two were shot, one killed at the Central District gas station two nights ago. So we've had five people shot, two murdered in the last 36 hours here. And the Seattle City Council thinks we need to defund the police, that we need fewer cops on the streets right now. But the effort is, and I know I've said this a million times, and I know that more and more people are starting to get it because the proof is irrefutable, that these are Marxist organizations that want to destroy capitalism. I played the audio yesterday to destroy the United States of America and to overturn our region, make it a Marxist petri dish for them spreading it around the country. And it's really, yesterday I asked, what's still worth fighting for? And I believe the city is still worth fighting for. I believe the Constitution is worth fighting for. But they want to defund the police because a small group on the council. They also want to mandate what you think. And I have a perfect example of that, because only 7 of the 9 council members voted to defund the police. There were a couple that dared say, no, we don't think it's a good idea to defund the police. And so what happens? Well, they march to Deborah Juarez's house a couple of days ago because she dared go against the radical voices. I'm telling you, If you do not think the way they mandate, they are going to homes and they are doing horrible things, you know, spraying graffiti, punishing anybody who dares stray in the slightest from how thought is being mandated. So even an incredibly far left city council member like Deborah Juarez, if she dared vote to continue funding Seattle police at the current level, they march to her house and they punish her for that. Here's a little bit of that.
Trying to get her attention. We have sent letters. We have called. We've gotten zero response from her. And so we feel that, you know, this is not, we're not here to make any chaos or anything. We are just regular citizens just trying to get some attention.
And trying to mandate how she thinks and how she votes. And now the Seattle City Council President, Lorena Gonzalez, issued a statement because they've targeted protests at the homes of council members. And they said that it cannot devolve into personal attacks, intimidation, or potential violence. Why didn't you say that, Lorena Gonzalez, when your citizens were being terrorized for 4 weeks on Capitol Hill at CHOP? There were thousands of people who lived in that neighborhood who were being terrorized, and you not only had nothing to say, but you supported it. But now that your homes are being targeted, now you say, well, we can't let this devolve into personal attacks. You don't think that was a personal attack on the businesses on Capitol Hill? You don't think it was a personal attack on the residents who lived within CHOP? But when it goes to their home, they get upset. When they promote it at their constituents' homes, they loved it. It's free speech. So thought is being mandated. Crime is being heavily promoted. Criminals will walk free. And the beat goes on in the Marxist takeover of Seattle. And that is your big lead for today.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
So what does all this mean? Closing the jail. Plus, they want to not have the citizens vote for sheriff, but the far left city or county council appoint a sheriff. They can appoint somebody who would take away your guns, who would take away your rights. I'm going to talk to former King County Sheriff John Urquhart about all of this coming up next as we get rolling here on the Dory Monson Show. As we talked about in the big lead, a shocking announcement as Dow Constein is planning now to close the King County Jail and the Youth Detention Center. So what does all of this mean? I can think of few people who could give me a better insight than former King County Sheriff John Urquhart, who joins us here on the Dory Monson Show. John, always a pleasure to talk with you. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you, Dory. Glad to be here.
Okay, so what does this mean, the closing of the Seattle King County Jail?
Well, it means we get rid of an ugly building that was not designed right in the first place and certainly not designed for today's type of jail. So that's a good thing. My question is, when I left, there was 1,800 prisoners there. What are they going to do with those 1,800 prisoners? That's the question.
Well, it sounds like the goal is, you know, with the no bail and less incarceration, and we've seen in our region a revolving door of really serious criminals just getting put back out on the street. And so I think that's a reasonable question to ask, what's going to happen to these guys? Because there are some really bad people in that jail, aren't there?
Oh, there's no question about it. There's all kinds of bad people. There's people that need to be in jail. But I'll also be the first to say not everybody needs to be in jail, but there's how do you separate those out? You know, we are required by state law to arrest domestic violence offenders. We have to do that. They have to go to jail. Now, I think what's going to happen, because Dow really didn't say what he was going to do with these 1,800 prisoners, probably less today, but nevertheless, several hundred, I think they're going to move them down to Kent. And you saw what the Kent mayor said. She does a very good job. She's a great mayor, but she put her foot down. Don't bring them down to the Regional Justice Center in Kent. So where are they going to go? Like I say, some people have to be arrested. They have to go to jail. Where are they going to go?
And I mean, I agree that that's the likely outcome. And I don't blame the Kent mayor for having great concerns, because her top priority is her city. And a lot of these guys, they will bail out and then they just walk out of the Kent jail. And so they become her city's problem all of a sudden. So yeah, I don't see the fairness of that. But I mean, we also have, I mean, there are rapists in there in this jail, because that's where you are as you await trial before you go to prison if you're convicted, right?
That's exactly right. And, you know, there's relatively few people that actually bail out. Most of them are just released with no bail.
Sure.
But that means they are walking out of jail. Now, look at the logistics. You know, if we arrest somebody in the city of Shoreline or if Lake Forest Park does, what are we supposed to do? Do we drive those? Do we spend 3 hours driving those people down to the Kent jail because there's no place in Seattle to take them? Or is it going to build mini jails somewhere else? You know, it makes no sense from the standpoint of there's no solution. There's no other plan that Dow talked about to what to do with these people that are there now and the people that are going to be arrested going forward. You have to remember the number one purpose of the criminal justice system is to keep people safe. And everything we do should be predicated on that, keeping people safe.
And I can't stress enough that, you know, while people can be in that jail for up to a year for you know, less than felony crimes, that is where people are as they await trial for rape and for murder. And none of this makes any sense to me, John, but I also see a region that just doesn't seem to be taking crime seriously. And as a result, to your point that you just made, keeping us safe, that doesn't just seem to be a top priority right now.
It certainly doesn't. And that's a shame. And I think they forget what that priority is. You know, we want to be progressive. We want to come up with new ways to handle people. And that's all well and good. We should be. We can't keep doing the same things we've done year after year after year. But we also can't throw the baby out with the bathwater until we can come up with a plan. What are we going to do in the meantime? Now, he's also going to close the youth center, the brand new youth center that was just completed by 2025. Now, what are they going to do with those prisoners? When I was working patrol, and yeah, that's been a few years ago, there are almost 200 kids in the youth center. When I was sheriff, it was down to about 50. Now it's down to about 21. But those 21 are still the worst of the worst. And I don't care how old they are. The public still needs to be protected by those kids. It's great to reduce the population there. I think that was probably a good thing because we came up with other alternatives. But you still have to have a place for those people to go. I haven't heard a plan about what they're going to do with them.
Well, I know what the goal is, because the no youth jail people, which has become a very powerful political force, they were on our morning news a while back, and they came right out and said, if it's a juvenile who's accused of rape or murder, they still don't believe that they should go to jail. I mean, that is literally the position of this growing political constituency, that a 14, 15-year-old murderer, rapist should not go to jail. And I'm sorry. I love the fact that we want to rehabilitate kids, but I also know that we have to be kept safe if they're out there gangbanging at age 14 or 15.
Oh, you're absolutely right. It's patently ridiculous that no kid, no person under the age of 18, so that's 17 and a half, 17 and three quarters, down to 12, 13, 14, should not go to jail. Now, there was a committee that was formed, and I hate committees as much as anybody else, but there was 30 people on it back in 2016. Most of them were community activists. There was people from the academic people. and that, and a few police chiefs here and there, and of course the sheriff. And that the first meeting we had, the goal was no youth incarceration, period. And we met every month, every single month, and I went to every single meeting for 2 years. And I can tell you, by the end of those meetings, that view went away because they finally realized we cannot do that. There's lots of other things we can do, lots of other things we should be doing and should have done for years and years and years. But getting rid of youth incarceration is not the answer.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, hey, but while I still have you on the line, and we got another minute or so, there's a big effort. You were King County Sheriff. We're talking with John Urquhart. Big effort to change it from what it is now, which is a elected position, to being appointed by the King County Council. And I am hearing from a lot of my listeners in more suburban and rural King County who are scared to death by that because they already see a King County Council that is dominated by Seattle urban liberals. And they say, I mean, the fear is, well, they're just going to appoint somebody who's going to be anti-Second Amendment, who is just going to reflect the ideals of the far left in Seattle. What's your take on elected versus appointed?
Do you think that's going to happen? Dory, yeah. If you liked the chop on Capitol Hill, you will love an appointed sheriff because that's what's going to happen. There are 39 counties in the state of Washington. All 39 have an elected sheriff, and there's a reason for that. Because the sheriff, under state law, is the chief law enforcement officer in the county, chief law enforcement officer, and he or she reports to the people. He should not report to the county council. He or she should not report to the county executive. They should report to the people. Now, one of their big arguments is, well, we can do a nationwide search and get the best person. In other words, they can substitute their judgment for the judgment of the people. Well, I want to tell you, look at the Seattle Police Department. It is a good department, don't get me wrong, but they've had an appointed police chief. And what did that appointed police chief get them? A consent decree. Sheriff's office in King County, most sheriff's offices don't have a consent decree because the sheriff makes sure that doesn't happen. Ferguson, Minneapolis, New York, Atlanta, Portland, you name it. They all have an appointed police chief, and they've all had very, very serious problems. Yep. Whether, you know, take your pick.
I agree with you 100%. All right, John, great insights on both subjects. Always good talk with you. I appreciate it, sir.
Thank you, Dory.
All right, former King County Sheriff John Urquhart joining us. Love to hear your thoughts. You can text me at 98973, and we have lots to come as the Dory Monson Show continues. Oh, let's get a vaccine. Is there anybody, and there probably are, I know there are a lot of anti-vaxxers. Whenever that COVID-19 vaccine becomes available, I'm in. I'll get on that. I saw an interview on Sunday with Jack Nicklaus. His golf tournament, the Memorial, was being played. And he announced, Jack Nicklaus and his wife, they're 80 years old. That makes some of us feel really old to think about that. But at age 80, he announced that he and his wife both got coronavirus back in March. And he said that he was asymptomatic. He never even knew he was sick. His wife was just, you know, she had like a little sore throat. And that was it. Even at age 80, there are a lot of people who just, you know, are positive, but they aren't affected by it. But he said that he now has the antibodies, so he doesn't wear a mask. He said he can't give it to anybody, and he can't get it from anybody. And so he doesn't have to wear a mask. So, yeah, let's get that vaccine going. I'm in. I know the University of Washington is one of the leading research universities. And then this morning, the Trump administration announced that it's contracted with Pfizer. I know a lot of people think that this is some big pharmaceutical conspiracy scam, but they've contracted with Pfizer $2 billion to get hundreds of millions of doses of the vaccine, which sounds like it's kind of cheap, because they have up to, they're going to buy up to 500 million doses of the vaccine, which is more than we have people in the country. So if they can do that for $2 billion, that'd be $4 per dose. That sounds really cheap to me. But also, it's going to be provided. The government's going to spend the money, but then it'll be provided free to every citizen in the country. I'd be curious. Are you an anti-vaxxer who would not get the coronavirus vaccine? And I'll tell you, if I was 30 years old, I might think about not getting the vaccine because the effects of the virus just aren't that severe on almost all 30-year-olds. But at my age, I'd think about the vaccine. Tell you what, Congressman Adam Smith from Western Washington, he said something in Congress yesterday that was just reprehensible. When he was talking about, should China have let us know when they knew how virulent and how dangerous it was to the high-risk categories? Should China have let us know? Here's what Congressman Adam Smith
said. Now, let me be clear. We absolutely need to hold accountable Russia, China, whoever wants to interfere with our process of developing a vaccine or cyber hack us in any other way. And there are an enormous number of tools to do so. I do want to point out and just simply make an urgent plea. One of the gentleman's arguments was that China hid the true risk of the virus from the American people. And yes, that is terrible that China did that. It's not actually their job to warn the American people. It's the president's job to warn the American people.
He always sounds so, he's got that affect. It's not their job. I didn't know job was a two-syllable word. It's not their job to let us know. He hates the president more than he hates the people who unleashed this and killed hundreds of thousands of human beings. Okay, Fast 15's coming up next. Job.